Hey there, welcome back to She Speaks Life. I'm so excited you are here listening to this episode. And to kick off the new year, why not start with getting yourself my journal called Serenity, Calm Your Soul, Strengthen Your Spirit, for some encouragement and inspiration. It is a personalized scripture journal where you write your name within the verse, bringing you this close personal directive to take heed of the truth in your life. It also includes 5 topics to choose from, with 2 weeks of scripture for each one for whatever season you are going through, such as contentment, confidence, loneliness, hope, and peace. In addition, are journal prompts and an activation prayer to release your faith for what you're relying on God to do in and through your life. So go to jamieelizabeth.com, jamieelizabeth.com, and order on my shop page. And while you're there, take the fun quiz. You can receive a discount plus free shipping at the end. As always, it blesses me to hear your feedback. So let me know how it's blessing your quiet time with Him. Today, I sit down with author Katie Walters, and we talk about her vulnerable story about her marriage and how beautiful God restores and makes what was once broken into something whole, stronger, and better than before. Katie and her husband Josh wrote a book called New Person, Same Marriage, and not only does it cover their pain and brokenness, but the steps they took that they now help other marriages with to restore their marriage with God at the helm. Josh is on staff at Seacoast Church, and Katie founded a nonprofit that makes a fashion line to support missions in Togo. They are both truly a testament of what God can do in our story when we do the hard and surrender our mistakes to God, to then only have Him, only Him, make something new from it. It's so good. So let's dive in. Here's my conversation with Katie Walters. Hey, Katie, welcome to She Speaks Life. I am so excited you are here with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
This is so great. We will be talking about marriage today and a pretty vulnerable story about you, but something that we can learn from you sharing your story and your difficulties in your marriage and how God restores and makes things new, changes things that are broken into something beautiful. And that's the exciting part that we get to look forward to in your story. So before we dive into that further, I always love to start off with asking the guests, what is their favorite scripture verse and why?
Well, my favorite scripture verse actually does relate to my story, because Josh and I, my husband, we have always loved John 10:10. It says, "The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And we carved it on the driveway of the very first house that we've gotten and have done it ever since. Like in all the houses we've renovated, we've carved this scripture into the driveway. And we say that we concentrated a lot on the second half of that verse, the abundant life,
yeah,
and not much on the enemy that is out to steal, kill, and destroy all the fruit of our life, the joy that God's given us. So our story is definitely a lesson in that, the awareness of the fullness of that verse and why we believe that Jesus gave us that. So yeah, we love John 10:10.
Yeah, it's a beautiful verse. And so you and your husband, Josh, you guys wrote a book called New Person, Same Marriage, which I just love that title. And it's a marital story about what you guys walk through, which we're going to talk about in a minute, and how God restored that and how He redeemed it and just brought the broken into and made something beautiful out of it. And, you know, we see that over and over again in the Bible of God restoring and God making things that were once dead alive again. And I just love, you know, this title of the podcast, She Speaks Life, and you're taking what was once dead back to life in Jesus's name. And It just is a testament to what God can do when we put Him first and we stay focused on Him. I would love for you to share your journey with us with that. But before we get started, let's get to know who you are and your husband, Josh, and where like the challenges started for you guys in your marriage.
Yeah, so my husband and I, Josh, have been married for 22 years. We have 7 kids, ages 2.
Awesome.
So, we always wanted 7 since we were 18, and our 8. We said, "How many kids do you want?" And on count 3, we both said 7. But it's a miracle that we actually have 7. You'll hear more about that from our story. This book really has come about because for the past 16 years, after our season of brokenness and pain, which we're going to get into, we moved to Charleston really as like a Hail Mary just to get our marriage healthy and strong. There was a church here, Seacoast Church, that my mom was on staff at, and we knew it was a healthy church, and there was a couple we wanted to mentor us. And so we moved here, and as God started to do miracles and really heal our marriage here in this church, Josh ended up coming back on church staff. I came on church staff. So we currently still live in Charleston, and that's where a lot of the principles of the book, New Marriage, Same Couple, came from, is that we have really had this privilege over the last 16 years of counseling so many couples who have been also in a season of pain or who also feel really stuck in their marriage. And both of us have a background in counseling. I have my master's in counseling, and Josh does as well in pastoral counseling, but we are not experts. This book is not, an expert account of marriage, really just the principles God taught us through our pain. And it is a vulnerable, raw, emotional depiction of our love story, but then hopefully gives these practical tools of what do you do when you find yourself really stuck. And we kind of say this thing that every couple needs to have a new marriage. It's just, you can do that with the same person. We really believe you can do that with the same person, that God can help you to rebuild no matter how dead it feels or how much you feel like we've grown apart instead of together. So that's where the book came from. We both still serve at our church here at our local church, and I run a nonprofit out of Togo, West Africa. So that's a big part of our life. Our second oldest daughter has been serving in Africa after she graduated and has just gotten home, and our oldest daughter's at college. But so we really have 5 kids here still in the thick of it with us. I wish those girls they help me, honestly.
Yes.
But that's who we are, and we, just really love each other. We have the best marriage in the world, and that's all thanks to God, because of what we went through. So that's so where good. We are today. And I could go back to tell you a little bit more about, kind of how we got to 2008 and the season of pain that we were in.
Yeah. Well, I would love for you to share that. And I just wanted to add how amazing it is to have 7 kids. I wish I had more kids. Now that my 3 are older, I'm like, oh my gosh, I should have just kept going. But you're just in the thick of everything, and you're just like, you're not feeling like it at the time that you have the capacity or the energy to keep having more. But and money too. They cost money. I love how you're just talking about the new marriage. And I think being married, I've been married for 27 years, and it has not stayed the same. I mean, it is constantly changing, right? And renewing itself, and just the different stages. Some stages aren't as dramatic as other ones. And we just sent our youngest one off to college. And so now it's like we're starting all over together. And I'm like, well, instead of that humdrum, oh, we're empty nesters and giving it a negative twist, how about like, let's be joyful about it and have it be this blessing that we are actually living in what I call a second honeymoon, because it feels like you're dating each other again, that those days before you had kids, right? If you're intentional with each other, you're going back to that courting, right? And I think that's important to do when your kids are at home, to date each other and have those times together. But it looks so different when you have all the time in the world after your kids leave to court each other, date each other. And I know that's just God being the center of our marriage, right? And giving us that joy and that love for each other.
That was so true. Well, and you know, I love that you talk about that, because in every season, that intentionality and that perspective is really vital for our health, you know, and our marriage. Because just like you're saying, you could immediately have the perspective of like, oh gosh, what am I doing? Like, what, you know, what's our purpose? And
right.
We have too much time together, all this stuff. But the perspective of this is our second honeymoon, it changes everything. And being intentional, like you're saying, with the courting. And I think looking back on our story, you know, that's a lot of what we point to, is that we had just gotten married. I also did not have a perspective on marriage that thought you had to fight for your vows. I really thought if anyone was going to like rock marriage, it would be Josh and I. And, you know, we both just loved the Lord and we wanted to change the world and be missionaries. And then life starts happening. You start having kids. And we just really thought we could kind of drift and coast. And I think that's exactly where the enemy wants us. Josh would have said that in our story, he thought we were just adulting. You know, we just had lots of pressures. We were still having date night occasionally. We were still having sex, but we were just really isolated. And then we lost this intimacy with each other. I don't know if we lost it or we really never had it, where we saw the worst parts of each other, chose to love those and like grow through that pain. And so in our story, that was an affair, it was almost like the enemy was just waiting there prowling. You know, we got pretty isolated. We had no friends. And then a couple moved into town that were our age, and we started just blurring all the boundary lines, hanging out with them all the time. I definitely started an emotional affair, you know, in my mind long before anything actually progressed to me saying.
Right. I mean, that's what the enemy does. It's like a gradual thing. It's not overnight. It's not like, you know, oh, I think I'll go sin. Like, it's a gradual thing. Yes.
You just start coveting, like, gosh, their life looks so much better. He treats me better. I wish my husband did this. Or those things, you know, start to plague us and put up big walls between us, what happens in our mind. And so that was definitely happening. And then we had our third son and he was premature. And so you have all the emotions of that. And that's when really, I think the division started between my husband and I, because there definitely was a lack of patience on my part. The day I got off bed rest, I was like, I'm having this baby tonight. And I did. And then he was so, so sick, you know, so we were filled with fear and all of that. And that's when the enemy just came in. And our story was so dramatic. It was such a deep pit of shame and despair, brokenness. It became very public. My husband was on staff at a church. And when I confessed to Josh, it was like the smallest little, what if it's me? This, the woman of the other couple had come over and she was like, something's wrong with my marriage. And when she left that night, I just said like, what if it's me? I thought it would stay right there between us. You know, no one would ever know. Yeah. And it became very, very public and painful. But the best thing about that, looking back, we both are so grateful, because it really forced us to reckon, you know, all of these things. It was like we were standing on shattered ground and just, and that can honestly be a very good place to rebuild from, because you don't really have, there's no pretenses. There's no, you know, your hope has to be found in God. You're not finding hope in each other. And you no longer are looking at these ideal versions of each other. And so for us, the principles of this book is around this concept of stay, and don't let your worst days be your last days. And I think for me, one of the biggest things that I didn't realize is that I had come to Christ. I was passionate about Jesus, but I really had no muscle for endurance, for faithfulness, for staying through when your feelings are gone, you know, when you're thinking like, I should just, culture's telling you, you should just go get what you want. You should follow all of your desires. And the truth is, you know, you can't find real love on that path unless you're willing to die. But I mean, who wants to die, honestly? But especially, I always say, like, I wasn't made with that strength of character. And I really had to grow those muscles, you know, during this time. But as we did that, as we stayed and rebuild, it wasn't quick. And that's why we tried to tell couples too, like, this intentionality, this rebuilding, whether it's been a devastating betrayal or you found out about something about your spouse you didn't know, or you just have kids grown out of the house and you're like, you know what? We want to go to a new place with each other. Mm-hmm. It's usually not fast. You can't have just one date night later and you're like, oh my gosh, all this intimacy we've been missing all these years, you know, typically you really have to cultivate it. I think that's why God gives us the analogy of the garden, because you really have to cultivate intentionally and tend to each other and start to accept and love these vulnerable versions of each other, you know?
Yeah, that's so good. And it takes two. Like I see marriages where it worked out. They put God first and center. And I saw like it was digging trenches. I mean, it was hard, hard work to rebuild and repair. And you can only do it with the Lord. And that is just every day putting God first and foremost in your marriage. And then I've seen marriages where it didn't work out. And the pattern I see is like, you know, one just decided it was too hard and they gave up. But if both of them are doing it together, then there is hope. God will rebuild and restore that marriage. And I know just going through hardships, financial hardships, that's my husband and I's story. And how much stronger we are in our marriage on the other side. But, you know, was it hard between us during that time? Yes. Like there was stress, there was arguing, there was discord and strife. Like it was hard. And so we all know that when we get through that hard, there's always God has this reward. And so it's just how long are you going to go before, you know, and not quit and throw in the towel?
Yep, that's right. You're so right. And, you know, even in our story, there was probably a year where I was committed to staying in the marriage, but my heart wasn't all the way there. And I would just tell God, you know, you can have my feet. I don't know if I'm going to love Josh again. My version of love. I don't know if these feelings will return, but God, I'll give you my feet. I'll stay. And if you have two people willing to come to the Lord, just like you're saying, and stay, you can see God do miracles, you know, miracles for you. And, but also, you know, if it's not a devastating betrayal, like in our situation, I do think some of these principles, if you have one person that's like, you know what, I really want to grow to a new place, then the first chapter of the book is called Start With Me. But we've seen a lot of couples that just say, you know what? I want to change my perspective. I want to change my attitude. I want to be what I'm looking for, you know, back from the other person. I want to take responsibility for my emotion, my discontentment, take all that to God. And we have seen marriages grow so much that way. But I definitely think you're right. When there is a covenant that has been broken, betrayal or hiding, it really does take two people willing to both say, okay, God, we believe that you can restore and redeem this, you know, together.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's talk about that rebuilding and that transformation that you walk through. You have an acronym that you guys use called STAY. So you already mentioned S, Start With Me. And let's share what the T is, if you want to go through those acronyms, just to give us a glimpse on how do you go from that to now being on the other side. Take us through that journey.
So the book's broken down to for STAY, and each part of the STAY has 3 to 4 chapters in it. And also the workbook, I would just say for any couple that really wants to go to a new place, the workbook is incredible because it's very practical. It's what we've workshopped with so many couples with questions that will really help you practically, you know, do it unique to you, because every marriage is so unique. It's so individual, you know.
Totally. Yep.
Complex and complicated. And so I think the workbook is so great because the book, you know, is our story and these principles that we learned from the vulnerable, darkest parts of our story. But then the workbook can really take it to you and your husband, your spouse. And but the S's Start With Me. And those are principles, just like I talked about, that in any situation, in any marriage, it's important to start with you. That's who you can change, you know, mm-hmm. and to figure out, is there anything I'm not taking to God? Any perspective I have that's a lie? Just like we talked about with the empty nesters and culture that might tell you, like, oh, the best days of your life are behind you. And that is a lie.
Right. It is. Yeah.
Our best days are ahead, and we're mm-hmm. going to be able to hold that promise until our final breath, because then mm-hmm. we do have our best days ahead in eternity, you know?
Yeah.
But to start with you in all those ways. What are you longing for? What are your desires? What do you want more of? And then we also have principles in there about confession. So that mm-hmm. confession that I did to Josh really opened the door to a practice, a principle that has changed our entire marriage. And mm-hmm. we call it confession therapy. But really, mm-hmm. we just tell each other the most vulnerable parts of each other. And we'll use language like, can you handle me? Or can I tell you something hard? Mm-hmm. And these are ways that we just show each other that we want to know the real person. We want to know your deep fears. We want to know when you've struggled with jealousy, or when I've had a dream about another man, or when I had a thought that was counter to Christ. You know, mm-hmm. we want to tell each other those vulnerable parts of each other. And that opens you up to so much more intimacy than you could imagine, just being sure. able to be vulnerable. And then the T yeah. is putting off the table. And that's the truth of that whole section, is just the fact that especially early on in marriage, Josh and I would say all the time, like, I mean, we'd be better off not together, or maybe we just want out, or I think I would just be better off if you just left me, you know, language mm-hmm. like this,
right.
that is so death speaking. So, mm-hmm. you know, speaking of just this podcast and speaking life, when you take quitting off the table, you really choose to look at what God's given you and to steward it as mm-hmm. best you can, to say, we're not going to quit. So we might as well grow to a new place. We don't want to stay here. We don't want to stay in brokenness or in this, yeah. you know, just place of complacency. So the principles for how to do that. And then the A is allow others to be a part of your journey. This became really important to us also, because during our darkest season of pain, it was a couple here in Charleston that started a small group that we came to, and then everyone else dropped out and it was just us with them. But they invested in us so much, and they taught us, they gave us vision, they gave us hope, they gave us perspective. Mm-hmm. And we have just never lost that, you know, which is why we say even this workbook, like going through it with another couple you admire or a small group, mm-hmm. those people that you let in on your journey is what will shape your marriage for better or worse, mm-hmm. you know? So it's really important that you have people around you that you're not always the one pouring into them. You're not always the best right. marriage in the room, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So make sure that you have also people that are really pouring into you and that you could show up and fight with. Josh and I did this just a couple weeks ago. We had this fight that we kept getting in the same flow. I don't know if you've ever had, like, it's different arguments, but you find yourself back in the same fuss, you know,
river.
And so we were like, let's just meet with our friends, Rebecca and Tim, and tell them and see if there's any perspective they see that mm-hmm. we're not seeing. And sure mm-hmm. enough, it moved us forward in such a powerful way. And, mm-hmm. you know, also, we have been in counseling. We went to counseling that was really not great at first. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find a counselor when you're in deep pain.
Yes.
It's expensive.
Right.
And you also, you know, a lot of times with counseling, you're not paying for their marriage reputation. You're mm-hmm. paying for their license. So with marriage coaching, at least you're finding coaches that they are showing you their experience, or, you know, they're supposed yes. to have a thriving marriage. But we have just found that if you can, you know, find someone to really help move you forward, who don't think you're the problem, but they believe mm-hmm. that you are the solution to your best marriage days, mm-hmm. it really can help you have a more forward movement mm-hmm. than, you know, focusing on one of you's the problem or it's your trauma, which all that can be true and needs to be done individually, but together moving forward, we found that to be really helpful. And then the last section yeah. is called Yield to Vision. And that is all about the fact that in every season of our life, we have to have vision. We have to have vision mm-hmm. that is practical, that has language to it. You know, mm-hmm. just like you were talking about the kids moving out of college, Josh and I met a couple on a trip several years ago that as soon as their kids got out of the house, they had been saving to take like 6 months and go travel together. They called mm-hmm. it their gap year. and they wanted to like rediscover each other, you know, and just held on to that vision of like, what a cool way to say we want to rediscover each other. And when you said like, we're courting again, you know, we're learning again, that's vision. And when you put language to it, it helps people to know, where are we going? What are we focusing on? And so we talked through a lot of principles of that, you know, things like getting your grandparent names and talking about those people. Josh and I decided we wanted to be called Ruby and Bear because kids' grandparents have like the worst names. You know, it was like Peepaw, Kiki, you know, we were like, we want to just solidify this thing before we have grandkids. But we talk about those people a lot. Like, what are Ruby and Bear like? You know, Ruby eyes, and Ruby and Bear have a place that the kids love to come to. And, you know, talking about the language is what gives vision a lot of practicality. And I think gives couples hope, you know, in those dark times. And that's what Josh did for me. I mean, I would bring him during the hardest points of our story, I would bring him these journals from when I was like 18. And I would say, like, I don't feel this way for you anymore. Like, I was calling you Snooky and Boo Boo. And like, I don't feel any of that. And he would say, Katie, I'm going to get you to go to a new place, a deeper place of love. Yeah. And he would give me vision for, we're going to get through this and we're going to be stronger at the end of it, you know? And so that vision is so important for couples. I really believe in every season so that they can take the ground that God has for them, you know, and enjoy their.
So good. I was just at a conference and was surprised to see a good friend of mine, her and her husband were there. And so we got to have like a 5-hour dinner and we're just pouring into each other. And one of the things the husband asked my husband, well, you know, now that you guys are stepping into a new chapter and in your marriage and life with now not having any kids full time at home, do you have a vision for your marriage? And I think when my husband told me this, that he was asked, what's the vision of your marriage? It was like we both stared at each other and was like, oh my gosh, we never thought of that. A vision of our marriage together. We always had these visions of what I'm doing in ministry and what's the next assignment God has put on my heart, the projects and all that. And then, you know, he's got a very busy job. So he's working all day and well into the evening sometimes. And so, you know, his vision has always been, you know, building his business, and he's an entrepreneur. So it was just so funny because we've lived totally on our own tracks. Like we know we're a team. We know, you know, that with God is our foundation and a marriage is a team, and he supports and he's the one that kicked off this podcast back in 2019 to tell me what equipment I needed and the editing and all that. Like, he is a huge supporter, and I am as well. If I can, I can hardly understand what he does for a living, but that's okay. But like, I am there in ways that he appreciates and hears that and sees that I support him. But it was just so funny because I was reading your guys's book and the vision had popped up, and I'm like, yeah, like, so we're yet to be like, we're just going through the process of talking about what is that vision for our marriage now, like, you know, walking into this new season. So I love that you guys touch on that.
Yes. And honestly, sometimes I think it can feel overwhelming to people. Josh says I'm like a few.
It did at first. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think I have any time in my mind, in my brain for this. Yeah. No capacity.
And it can feel like, I mean, for Josh, he's very much, he says he's like, he wakes up and takes the day. You know, he's like, I'm good for the day. And sometimes I think it can feel like, you know, what is it a slogan that we're like, we're two people that are on a path to, you know, does it really matter? But I think when you really boil vision down to that specific season and start small. Mm-hmm. So like, for instance, one thing for us is we are renovating a house right now. And This is our 16th renovation. I have to say this. And that's,
oh my gosh. I went through one. I was like, okay, one and done. No,
it's not fun. I say
no.
We're in Joanna Gaines, but we're just live in Charleston, you know, and it's expensive to live here. We have so many kids, but
it's so cute there. Oh my gosh. That is my daughter's dream place to go live is Charleston. She just loves that whole area. It's so cute.
It's wonderful. But this one is the first one that we had a friend from our church came in and get drafted plans. We've always Josh has just torn down a wall and, you know, he's kind of done it like himself. And this one was, it wasn't even any bigger than the other ones we've done, but we had the full plans. And because I had the plans of where we're going, I have enjoyed it so much more. Mm. And so I just think for people, like when you know this year, this is what we're setting out to accomplish. And, you know, start with that. Start with this one year. We'd like to go on these two vacations. We'd like to serve together in this way. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to create this memory for our family. You know, start with this, the just one year before you start to go to like, okay, if we want to dream in 10 years, mm-hmm. if nothing were impossible, what would we want to do? And when we do that, Josh and I will write down our ages, our kids' ages, you know, where we think we'll be and, you know, really starting to put handlebars on that. But I think once you get used to it and start asking God, he wants to give people words. Just like you said, the courting each other, we're rediscovering each other. Those things are vision and they're so critical. And, you know, moving into this new house, I felt like the Lord told me, I want you to build this house for the Sabbath. And just having that language from him gave me such vision of, I knew like, oh, I know what I'm trying to do. I'm creating soft spaces for the boys to land on a Saturday, places that are not full of projects for Josh, a place where we can wake up in the morning and then we do this and then we go outside and we play pickleball and then we come home. And, you know, I felt like I got vision for what am I trying to accomplish in this home? Mm-hmm. If we don't take time to do that in our marriages and with each other, all we see all day is Instagram scrolling. Yeah. People are giving us vision all day long.
Right.
You know, of their marriage. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's a critical piece. And sometimes for people, it can feel like it's not something that they can really hold on to each day. But I think it's actually the thing that will make us enjoy that Tuesday so much more, you know? Mm.
I love that. Well, thank you for that. That releases some overwhelming feelings because you're right. It's instant, like, oh my gosh, like overload. But yeah, the small steps, small beginnings like that, that is definitely easier to just figure out, okay, you know, we can start here and that's good.
Yes, it's so true. I think about you guys too, when you talk about being supports to one another and you know, even language like that, like this is a season where we're supporting each other. Mm-hmm. And in those early years of having kids and, you know, I just felt like we were going to be missionaries and then life changed so quickly. Josh got called to work at a church. It was a Baptist church. I just didn't really feel like I had a place in ministry there. And I was home with little kids and I couldn't see how the two people that fell in love and all these dreams that we had were going to come to fruition. You know, and we look back on it and we're like, I wish we could have said to each other, like, hey, we're going to give it 5 years of just supporting each other in these specific ways. And then, you know what? We're going on a mission trip, like just to set it in front of us of this isn't dead. You know, this part of our life isn't dead. It's just this is what we're doing right now, you know, until we can do that. And so I think about that. You know, all the time with my kids, because when we're empty nesters, number one, it probably won't happen, you know, because I'll have grandkids before I even get one to middle school, probably.
Right. You had so many. How, what are the ages of your kids?
They're 20, 19, 15, 15, 12, 11, 6, and 2.
Oh, so my goodness.
I promise you, I will have a grandchild before I have one in middle
school. You will. That's awesome.
No, but we've had to craft a new vision too, because there will be no, like, you know, live overseas for a year, gap year. We probably won't have that version of an empty nest, you know, and we'll still be paying for college through all of that, you know? So
yeah,
that we've had to say new language around that too. Like, we probably will always have children in our home, and that's a joy. That's a gift. You know, we've just tried to create it for the unique situation that we're in. And that's what I would just encourage every couple is that, you know, God has put you together for a reason, and the parts that can feel the most challenging because you think we don't even have the same desires, we don't even have the same passions, He truly will use all of that to build the marriage of dreams when you surrender it to Him in His timing, you know?
That's so good. Yeah, that's key right there. I mean, so many people are just like, oh, we don't have the same interests. And that's okay. I really do feel like God puts two together that are opposites, and you just find things that you do have familiarity in. You know, my husband loves collecting things. You know, he likes the history of things. I can't stand it. I'm the opposite. I purge probably 3 to 4 times a year. I'm simple. I'm a minimalist. I don't like stuff in my house though. And he's completely the opposite. But as long as it doesn't dwindle outside his office or where he is, right, then we're good. You know, keep it in your space. Don't let it drip out into the other rooms of the house. And, but what we do find that we love to do together is golf. And that was something we did in the beginning when we were first married. Actually, when we dated, we did some. And then when we were first married, before we had kids, we got married young at 20. He's 4 years older than me. So I got married when I was 20 and then had my first one at 23. But we always had grandparents around, so they would watch the kids. And I remember we did long day dates, which not everyone can do because golf's long and you're gone for a while. But now it's like a full circle. It's just so weird. Now we're doing so much golfing.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's just been so great. And I just go, God, thank you, like, for that blessing. I mean, I look at it like a little nugget, like a treasured nugget that God gave our marriage, to have something that we can go do that is fun, that we can do together. That's fun. So yeah,
it's so important. And you can think in those years, like, we don't have anything like that in common. And then you see, once you have the intentionality and you put the time behind it, you're like, oh, this is what drew us to each other to begin with. You know, even the parts that are so different. And my husband and I are the same with the purging and the keeping.
Yeah.
And same thing. I just, you know, give him a spot.
Yeah.
And grateful that he's like, oh, I have that one letter, you know, that card that you wrote, you know, whatever. Yes. I'm like, well, I have one keeper in the family because I keep nothing.
Yeah. So
it's really true. Those differences can seem like they will just drive you apart. And, you know, I haven't even shared this part of our story, but one thing that actually really helped me was this book during our hardest season. I went to the library and it was this old Tim LaHaye book. I don't know if anybody has remembered that author, but it was about temperaments, and it was like Holy Spirit directed temperaments. And it just helped you to look at the temperament of your spouse. And I think just starting to study Josh again, look with new eyes, really helped me, because like I said, whatever your perspective is, it can be a blinder also. And so when you don't see those strengths as strengths anymore, you see them as a weakness because they're just different than yours, you know? And it really helped me to start to restudy him in that way, to look at his temperament and the way he was wired and how, wow, that was probably God ordained for my weak spots, you know?
Right.
What the ways that we were different.
So good. All right. Share with us how it is today, and let's give a takeaway for the listener to ponder on or take action in.
Yeah. So today, I mean, this is where I hope just the supernatural transfer of hope through your pain. You know, there's really nothing magical about these principles or us or our story, but just we've watched God do what he says in scripture, that he'll comfort others with the comfort that we have received from him. And so I thought if we stayed together, I would end up with like a pal, a friend, that Josh and I would have done the right thing by God and we would have stayed together. But what I didn't realize is that same God that authors all of our emotions, our passion, our desire, our love, He can restore all of that. And Josh is truly my very, very favorite person in the world, my best friend, the person, the first person I want to call, the first person I want to have fun with and play with and fight with and get through hard things with and cry with. And so I would just say, you know, I hope that anyone listening could know from our story that it could not have felt any more dead. You know, I truly thought I cannot go on with him anymore. And I need to just, you know, make myself happy, follow my desires. And instead, God has just brought about the most beautiful, wonderful marriage of our dreams, you know, by his grace. And so that would be my encouragement. And then one takeaway is, I would say the most simple way, I think, to start cultivating that intimacy in your marriage is with confession. And I think it's the hardest thing to do, but it's the most important. And if you can start, if you can be the one to start, it doesn't have to be some deep, dark, you know, hidden sin. I hope it's not, because that's a really hard way to start, you know, the way I started. But if you can start with just, hey, I've been really struggling with this fear, or, you know, I just don't even know that I have the capacity to come up with vision where I'm at in life right now. Or I've been feeling really, really tired and burnout. If you can just start with, can I tell you something hard? And start to give your husband, your spouse, that piece of you, that vulnerable piece of you. I believe that what you'll see is that you have a good-hearted, godly man who wants to protect. He wants to meet needs. He wants to cultivate that love with you, you know, but oftentimes they're just shooting in the dark. They they don't know what's going on in the complicated heart of a woman, you know. So I would just start with confession as much as you are able to ask the Holy Spirit to help you and to open yourself up, you know, in that way to your husband.
Yeah, that is key there too. That is so good that you say all of that, because I look at our marriage and how did we work things out? It was by sharing what was on our heart. And because we got married so young, we feel like we grew up together. We've always said we're soulmates, we're best friends, which we are, just like you were saying about you and Josh. And you know, it seems to come natural in our conversations, you know, thank you, Jesus, of just sharing, like, this is how I'm feeling. And then understanding each other. But, you know, and sometimes I think men like to fix things. And so they go into like problem solving when really you just wanted to share. And you're just like, I don't need you going to fix it. Just hear me out and my feelings. But you know, that's just how they were designed as husbands, to protect and, you know, and take care of their lady. And I feel like too, when my husband and I come together and pray, there's so much vulnerability that comes out when you pray. I mean, when we started to put that into practice on a regular basis, I would hear things coming out of him that I had no clue. And I'd be like, oh, wow. And, you know, giving it over to the Lord, the one that can fix things, you know, the one that can get us through. And how much that brings that intimacy. Like, it just brings this instant closeness. And I just love it when you can pray to God and share each other's vulnerabilities with each other in that way, and giving it to the sovereign God that, you know, controls everything, right?
It's so true. That is so, so important. We talk about that all the time, that praying together daily, and what a game changer it is, you know, for marriage and for protecting it. So.
Yeah. Because you forget, like, you're doing your prayer on your own, he's doing his on your, and then you forget, oh yeah, we need to come together and pray. So that was one of the lessons I needed to learn in our marriage, because when we started doing that, mountains started to move. So anyway, I can talk to you, Katie, all day long. This has been such a great conversation. I would love for you to share where people can get your book and connect with you. And do you guys do, you know, coaching like online for marriages in distress and whatnot?
Yeah. So all of that. So you can, they can go to just joshandkatiewalters.com is probably the best place. And the pre-orders right now are really incredible because it's because we're first time authors. I feel like the publisher's like, here's all this stuff. If you pre-order, because there's a video guide that's totally free. There is conversation starters for your date night. There's the first three chapters. There's all kinds of vision guide, all kinds of tools for your marriage if you pre-order, and that's on our landing page. Mm-hmm. So you can get the book and the workbook there. And then we do offer marriage coaching. That's on our website as well. We love to come and speak and share at churches. And you can also find us on Instagrams, just Josh Walters, Katie Walters. So we would love to connect more in any way, any of the platforms and things like that with anyone listening.
Yeah, so good. I mean, the experiential training is the best in my belief. So good, Katie. Thank you so much for coming on here.
Oh, thank you, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening today, and I trust that God has encouraged you through this story. Did you know this podcast is on YouTube? Hop on there and subscribe, and you can see a live recording of each episode. And for more information on this ministry and to access free downloads, please visit my website at jamieelizabeth.com. That's jamieelizabeth.com. And let's connect beyond this podcast by going to my Instagram handle, Jamie Elizabeth, She Speaks Life, or Facebook. Until next time, my friend, I hope God reveals himself through your own life story.